Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Thursday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. Hope everybody's off to a great start on this Thursday morning. We got a lot to get into today. We will react all show long to day one of Titans training camp on the field yesterday. Get into a little Vols action later as well. And as he does every Thursday morning, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans and the biggest storylines around the National Football League with him coming up at 8 o'clock. So thanks for being with us this morning. Joe Rexroad, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good. I got my notebook, so I got some really sweet observations for you. Also, we may need to, you know, it's up to you guys. I'll leave it up to you guys. Gentry Estes is in Paris at the Olympics for the Tennessean, and he's covering archery right now. So he's tweeting archery. I told him we may need to call him.
Might have to.
So just stay apprised of the archery beat.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what could happen in the archery meet. Is it a meet? A gathering? A gallery? What do we call this thing?
That's a good question. An archery.
Is it a match?
I don't know. I'm asking the question.
That's a really good question. An archery.
Gentry, question we have for you. Yeah. What do you call this thing?
I think it's a match, right?
Sure.
I think that would be right. But yeah, sometimes it's like a pride of lions. Like, why would it be a pride of lions, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe it's an archery.
Flock.
Yeah, right. Something just totally random.
If anybody out there knows, let us know. I see round.
Ooh, archery soiree.
If it's not that, I think it should be that.
An archery round?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, well, there you go. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
There we go.
Weird.
Well, we'll have to get Gentry's thoughts on that.
So, we'll see. Yeah, Gentry, be ready. I told him to be ready by the phone.
Keezer, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing well. Can't complain. Had a fun night for breakfast last night, so loving that. A little bit of Cracker Barrel at home.
Okay.
Keezer style. The
breakfast.
Yeah.
Breakfast for dinner.
Breakfast for dinner.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good stuff.
Wait. So you're saying you got Cracker Barrel takeout, or you?
No. Like, it was Keezer style. Like, we made our own.
He's saying his stuff is as good as Cracker Barrel, Robbie.
That's a pretty lofty standard.
Not as good.
That's a bold statement.
Our own style.
Pretty lofty standard.
Corned beef hash, I hope.
God, no.
Has not been on the menu at Cracker Barrel, but maybe something that needs to be adjusted.
I'm sure that was Michelle was producing when I had my.
I know about the beef. Literally, yes.
Yes, it was Michelle.
Do you like corned beef hash?
I have not had it in a while, but I think I would like it.
I mean, everybody in the world loves
it. Isn't it canned?
Well, you can be, or you can actually make corned beef and potatoes and all that stuff.
It does sound good.
Oh, it is. Don't get me started. Robbie knows.
Oh, it is.
Don't get me started.
Let me tell you.
Sounds like gout in the can.
Wow.
Well.
It was right back to
gout. Probably didn't help.
Day one of Titans training camp on the field yesterday. Rex Road was there. He's got his notepad. He's ready to go. I'm sure just full of takes from yesterday and day one on the field for the Tennessee Titans. Joe, what stood out to you yesterday the most over at Titans training camp?
So first of all, I mean, for anybody who's listening who hasn't been, you know, I guess paying attention since then, so the news items would be I think to me the biggest news item is L'Jarius Sneed on the field, and he did everything and he looked good, so that's good. Whatever the management will be, it's not he never practices, so that's been established.
Good.
Yes, Devondre Sweat also I thought looked good. I didn't confuse him with Mr. Olympia or anything, but I mean he looked to be in fine shape, similar to like rookie minicamp, moving extremely well. So you know, after practice, Devondre got 18 different types of questions related to his weight. I mean, Glennon tried like four different ways to ask him how much he weighs, I think. So
Glennon's putting in the work.
Glennon is persistent. But I thought he looked good, and I thought that – I mean, good in terms of – yeah, look, what happened yesterday, a little bit 7-on-7. they did do some team. And so they had ones versus ones, and they had – you've got Snead pressing Ridley, and you've got Snead and Hopkins. I mean, they're – so you had some great matchups briefly, you know, for a few snaps, which was fun to see. But I can go through the notebook if you want. Let's see.
Well, you got it here. Why would you just go through it?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, my first one, as I'm standing next to Jared, Sadiq Charles just absolutely paints the field with his stomach. I mean, it was – and then he kept going and going. And they're like, hey, let's go this way now, away from the puke. So this always happens.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Wasn't even that hot yesterday.
Well, that's the thing. It was the beginning of practice, and it was cool and cloudy.
Yeah.
I'm like, good thing it wasn't 93 and buddy, you could blazing be in trouble. Sun like you normally see out here. Yeah. So I think someone else said someone else. I mean, this happens, right? I mean, I'm sure people out there, I know I've been first day of basketball practice. I've found the trash can. Running those sprints. I mean, you know, we've been there. A lot of people have been there. Let's see. Sevens. Levis made a quick second read. Beautiful pass to Chig over the middle. There's one of my notes. I got Roger McCreary, Tyler Boyd. Great matchup. That's a matchup we haven't talked about, but you think about nickel slot. And that's good.
Yeah.
Roger McCreary, Tyler Boyd, very good matchup. Levis got it to Boyd in as tight a window as you could get. I mean, short pass, but very good coverage. That's a good one. Got Wiley beats Kenneth Murray for a quick out. This is all Levis throwing in 7-on-7. Then I counted up Rudolph and Malik. They are getting the same reps from what I could count up. I got Rudolph getting one to Kyle Phillips quickly. I got him getting one to Mason Kinsey, Chig, and then Vanette, the third tight end, who fumbled. There were a few fumbles in 7-on-7, which was weird. Malik, you know, Thomas Odukoya made a great catch. We've heard, you know, Thomas Odukoya's name a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
He's interesting. Mason Kinsey. Bryce Oliver, who is, you know, one of the guys in camp with a fumble. So let's go back to Will Levis in sevens. I got Boyd had a drop. Now, I was told by the other that was Levis's throw was the problem. And Levis missed a couple in 7-on-7. He was not absolutely pinpoint every time. He finally had to check down to the running back after a long time, which it was one of those, like, you got to just get rid of the ball. Quick one to Boyd. And then a really nice slant to Traylon Burks, who fell. He got some yards after the catch, and then he fell on the grass, but it was a nice play. Let's see. I mean, I don't have a ton. The team stuff is the best stuff. There's some trash talk. Hopkins was over there talking some serious trash to Simmons and those guys, which was fun to watch. Ones versus ones team, Levis. Beautiful over the middle, intermediate throw against a zone look to DeAndre Hopkins. Like a really nice quick boom, boom. I think it might have been his first. I think it might have been his second read, too. I can't say. I have notes here on, like, who's lining up where, which I can't say. But we all know that Nicholas Petitfrere wasn't there.
Correct.
So who would be the right tackle today if they started? I'll guess. I'll take a guess that maybe John Ojukwu would be, yes. Which is interesting and maybe not comforting. But, you know, he is a guy who has impressed some people. Levis threw in front of Ridley too much on an in cut, and Roger McCreary was there for the pick. Ridley played great defense to keep that from being a pick. That was the one, I would say, bad throw Levis made in team. He made an incredible throw on a deep out to NWI, of course, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Between two defenders, the timing, the precision, all that. It was one of those, like, the whole field's like, oh, you know, type thing. Very good play. Jamal Adams. I'm not. It's one day. So Jamal Adams may start at safety. Who knows? We're going to talk about him later. But he was running around. He had a blitz where he basically would have sacked Levis, and he looked good. I mean, he timed it up. He looked fast. Actually, they didn't call a sack, so Levis actually threw a great pass on the play downfield to the sideline, and Ridley just flat out dropped a perfect pass.
Mm.
We got a Ridley drop, we got a Jamal Adams blitz, and then the last note I have is a pass over the middle, just basically checking down to NWI. Dr. Jack with a sweet PBU. He's right in the middle of that defense. People can complain about it. He is who is he? I mean, he's the defense's NWI.
Yeah.
He is Cole Smith of the Titans, whatever you want to say. I think Jack Gibbons probably can play some football this year.
Probably so. So some good observations there from day one of Titans training camp. Like you said, really good to see L'Jarius Sneed on the field. I quite frankly didn't expect that heading into yesterday. So good to see him on the field. Devondre Sweat being out there, being available, being mobile, all those things is good. And now it's, you know, we're gonna break down practice every day, and there's gonna be different takes, and Levis is gonna play well some days, not play well other days. We know all that stuff and how training camp goes. But, you know, part of the story here is like, all right, how often will Sneed be out there? Can Sweat keep himself out there? Can you avoid some major injuries in training camp, which are, if you look around the league, already starting to happen? I mean, the Vikings had one yesterday with a torn ACL. So, already starting to happen throughout the league. Can you avoid those things? And, you know, can you get to a spot where by the time the first game rolls around that you're feeling really comfortable with what you're doing out there? But sounds like Levis was relatively sharp yesterday.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, you know, he missed a couple in sevens where it's like, I mean, you know, every quarterback misses throws.
Yep.
It wasn't like a – you know, there were a couple days in the spring where it was like, man, he's just sailed, you know, three of the last five passes or something like that. You know what I mean? It was a little bit – and I think it's probably a combination of, one, he has been working on the base and the mechanics, but two, also probably the offense.
Yeah.
So he missed a couple, but then during team, it was good. It was quick. He looked like he has the answers. I mean, like I said, there was one time in seven where he probably should have let something rip, and he finally just checked down to the back where it's like, at that point, that's too much time. But in team, yeah, it was a good day for him, I would say.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your questions on the Tennessee Titans training camp underway for the Titans on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have the best and worst things in sports as well coming up at 645, so we'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, 615-737-1025. As Rex Rhodes trying to get his audio figured out over there.
Yep. Got it muted.
Got it.
Got this muted. Got me unmuted. We're all set. Maybe I should tweet. Yeah, I almost never, like, I'm almost off Twitter, man.
I've noticed you, there's a reduction in tweets.
I don't know. It's just so weird. The whole place is so weird.
There's no doubt, but your time of year to shine really is here now with your opportunity to take some video out there on the Titans practice field. And it's really your time of year.
I took none yesterday.
I know, it's really disappointing.
I wanted to watch, and then it was like, oh, I guess I could have taken. Remember, we can only take video of like the stretching, basically.
Yes.
It's individual drills. I'll get you some, though. Don't worry.
Good. Look forward to it.
Yeah.
Kyle from Shelbyville wanting to know, how did Cedric Gray look yesterday?
Is that what he asked?
That's what he originally asked, how did the rookie linebacker Brown look?
Green? Red? Yeah. So I don't have a good answer for you. I'll be honest. Like, one day, the thing is, I mean, you really do. You got to pick what you're going to focus on.
Yeah.
I really can't say I noticed anything good or bad from him, but, you know, give it some time. Over a couple weeks before they get to the preseason game, and then everybody can see what they're doing, I think. I mean, especially this team. Apparently, we're really going to see what they're doing in that first preseason game.
I guess so.
But at this point, I was really obviously focusing on the DB receiver stuff and a little bit looking at, like, Sweat up front and things like that. So I don't have much for you on Gray.
But what would be interesting? How did Sweat move? How did he look out there?
Yeah, like I thought he moved pretty well. I thought You know, again, I don't – and Jeff Simmons said afterward in a very interesting press conference for him.
Yes.
But he said afterward, you know, the same of him too, but he can get in better shape, and I think he can. I don't think T'Vondre Sweat is, like, in absolute max shape, and it's like – I mean, the big question with him is – okay, so how many snaps can you go in games? Can you be out there consistently and play like a big snap count in these games? And with what he brings, if he can, I think it could be pretty good for the Titans. But that, I don't, you know, obviously I have no idea based on yesterday. But I thought he moved well. He seems to be in reasonable shape. He can probably get in better shape. And there is a good 6-week period here before game start. So. If it's all good from here to there, then I think you're going to have a player ready to make a difference.
You brought up the Jeffrey Simmons press conference yesterday and Jared Stillman trying to get him to talk about his Twitter beef that he had after the immediate aftermath of the Jamal Adams signing a couple of weeks ago. Simmons shutting that down rather quickly, did not want to get into those conversations, said he was not going to talk about it. What did you make of that response, that exchange between Stilly and Jeffrey Simmons yesterday?
Do we have that, Nick? Do you have that readily available, by the way? So, first of all, you got it. All right. Well, let me set this up. So, I'm right behind Kaharski, and then Jared's right next to him. And it's like Robbie Boren, you know, Titans PR, is like, okay, like, two more questions. And Kaharski turns to me, and it's like, glares, you know. And I'm like, shut up. Turn your head around. Because, of course, I promised I would ask, which I was going to.
Yep.
I was planning to all along. I figured let's let them answer like football questions that people give a crap about, and then we'll get into our little media stuff. So as I was about to ask a question, you may be able to hear me say, bleh, but then Jared barks out his question, and here we go.
When you think of Twitter, you a couple weeks ago had some criticism for us.
Not speaking on that. I'm moving on.
Oh, there you go. Not speaking on that. Moving on. I tried, and my question, you know, we had this on Jared versus Joe, another win for me as we come back from break.
Well done.
What's that?
Well done.
Thank you. Kaharski then yelled at Jared afterward, and he's like, your question was terrible, or whatever he said. I was not that mean to Jared. I was like, yeah, like, here's the thing. If you start into like, well, speaking of Twitter, you better get it out fast. Yep. That's all I'm saying. My question was going to be, who are you mad at in the media and why? That's it. Who are you mad at in the media and why? And the thing is, like I told Jared, see, first of all, that's open-ended, so it's not a yes-no question. It's quick. It hangs there, and he has it. And I think that might even be one of those questions where he thinks it's funny a little bit, and maybe he gives some kind of an answer.
He did not give an answer yesterday.
He probably – I mean, Jared's probably right. He probably would have shut that down too, or any question about it, but it still would have been better than, speaking of Twitter, whatever. Yeah. Nope. You're shut down. So, as far as, like, what this means, I mean, I don't care anymore. Like, he tweeted what he tweeted.
It's really not that big a deal.
It's not. And, like, is
now, I will say, like, if you're not going to talk about it, that's fine. Stop tweeting. You know, like, if you're not going to talk about it, like, I have no problem with Jeffrey Simmons not wanting to get into that in a public setting yesterday, but stop tweeting about it.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to talk about it, then don't tweet about it.
Yeah, I think the things that a lot of people have said, including Paul, are dead on. It's just like, okay, I mean, if you have a problem, first of all, go ahead. Someone ticked you off? Go
clearly.
Tell them.
Yeah.
You shut up. It's okay. The social media, people yell at each other all day long on that thing. You're allowed to say, hey, whatever. How about Sam? I'm going to pick on Sam Finley. You know, he was on Survivor?
Was he really?
Yes. That's why he's been gone. He's on Survivor.
I did not know that.
I know. It's going to be awesome. Coming up on TV. I can't wait. Yeah, maybe he was, hey, Sam, shut up. You know, that's fine. Be specific and then drop it. But I agree with you. It's like, this is, I think it's a distraction. I've heard the case, which is actually it is in the building. It's leadership to just defend your teammates or anybody against me. And that's fine, but it's like, it's just.
I don't think this is some referendum on Jeffrey Simmons or his leadership or anything like that. But, like, I will say, like, if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. Then just don't tweet about it. Just, as Herm Edwards used to say, don't press send. That's all we ask for. Still press set.
Yeah, I mean, it's right. It was just a weird. And again, the weirdness of it was like, so you're not allowed to say, I'm not sure if this is a great signing. If you say that, you hate the Titans.
Yeah, I mean,
okay. But what, yeah, as far as like any kind of referendum on him as a leader for this team, it really means nothing to me. I don't think it means anything. And of course, Jared took it there yesterday. Shocking, I know. David in Arkansas said, you think it's because he doesn't like Stillman? Since he hasn't blocked, if it were you, Joe, or anyone else, you think he would have shut it down? I will say, and Jared acknowledges too yesterday, Jared asked two questions to Jeff. After looking at Jared when he started to ask a question, I'm not surprised he hasn't blocked. He doesn't like Jared.
I think it's pretty clear.
Which, again, is interesting because Jared doesn't go in the locker room. Yeah. But Stilly, you know, Stilly's reputation precedes him.
I thought he gave Kuharski a couple of pretty good answers
yesterday. Yeah, it was a good presser.
Yeah.
It's fine. I just would, for my own curiosity, I'd love to know who he's talking about. Going in the locker room, pretend to be your friend, all buddy-buddy.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I don't – it's like, who would this be? Because that's not Kuharski.
It's definitely not Kuharski.
It's not Stilly either. It's not either member of the Stilly and Pauly show. So, I don't know. And I didn't
not
really –
you.
Did I tweet about Jamal Adams?
I don't think so.
So, I don't even – yeah. Like, I don't like to tweet. This is why. I don't want people yelling at me. So, I'd love to know that answer. But, like, what this means for Titans football or Jeff as a leader, I mean, it means, like, nothing, right? It's just us – in a big circle thing.
It is. 615-737-1025.
Life.
615-737-1025. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next, including a member of the Titans that apparently Joe has very quickly changed his mind on. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Love the game. I started playing football at age 3. Obviously, my father, I don't know if you guys know, he played with the Giants. His career was cut short due to injury. I started at age 3, and I've always loved the game. You know what I mean? It's never been about money for me. Obviously, you know, that comes with it, with great play. But for me, it's just the love of the game.
That's Jamal Adams yesterday, the newest member of the Tennessee Titans, making his practice debut on the field for the Titans at training camp yesterday. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, sounds like you were pretty impressed with what you saw from Jamal Adams yesterday.
Jamal Adams' press conference yesterday was borderline awesome. It was really good. And so I must say, after watching him on the field and watching his presser, my mind has been changed to some extent, okay? A few things. First of all, none of this changes, like, if anyone on that side of things or on this side of things, media or, you know, players, coaches, whatever, anyone ever attacks a family member, spouse, girlfriend, anything like that of someone, that's absolutely inexcusable. And so I cannot get past that. That's awful. However, I was impressed with him yesterday. His enthusiasm, even on the field, you can kind of see it. I feel like it's probably going to be a good thing for the Titans. You can look back at Seattle, and, you know, he was talking about some of the guys he's really close with still and all that, including Quandre Diggs, who he basically confirmed that – I mean, I think he confirmed that the Titans are in the mix for Quandre Diggs.
Yeah.
He said, I hope we get him. I suspect he's probably had a conversation or two with Rand Carthon about that, so that's an interesting little nugget for the presser. But – It was
all the safeties in the world, man. A lot of depth and safety coming up.
Hey, can't have too many safeties. But he was it was, and listening to him talk about the injuries and stuff, I knew it was serious, but he's talking about, like, what, 10 to 15 weeks, I think he said, like he couldn't shower on his own, or he's in a wheelchair. I mean, it was, you know, it's like a quad, but it's like a really, really bad injury, where like severe injury. So you could trace that and say, okay, how much time does that take to recover from? Maybe you don't, or maybe, you know, you're eventually at your best going to be 80% of what you were, but maybe last year he was 60. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
but he, you know, he sounded optimistic that he's getting better in that way, which of course, you know, that is going to take away your explosiveness, your speed, your twitch, all that stuff. Will he get it back? I don't know. But again, I thought it was a good presser. I was impressed with him, and watching him on the field, you know, I can see where he could be a chess piece for this defense.
Yeah, I mean, I still think anybody who's just writing his name down in pen as the starting safety alongside Imani Hooker, I wouldn't get too far ahead of your skis yet on that thing. I mean, hopefully he gets through camp healthy and shows enough where he is the starting safety at the end. I mean, that'd be great, right? That he shows enough where it's like, wow, okay, we got to put him out there. He's got to be a significant factor for this defense. I do think, number one, I agree with you. I thought the dig stuff that he brought up was pretty interesting, and we'll see if the Titans end up acting on that. But number two, like, to me, if he gets back to being a player, you know, we've talked about the pass rush and the ability to get after the quarterback. And, you know, we had TD on in the immediate aftermath of the Jamal Adams signing, and he talked about his ability to get after the quarterback. Now, he hadn't really put that on display in a few years because of the injuries and everything that's gone on with him and his body. But if he gets back to a place where he's kind of that box safety linebacker hybrid, whatever you want to call it, that could be effective getting after the passer. Because, look, I saw a lot of people yesterday talking about him and how he looks quick and he looks fast, and that's good. I still don't think, in the heyday of Jamal Adams' career, it's ever been like, yeah, that's who you want back all alone in coverage, yeah, right?
No,
so,
right.
Like, I don't think that's just going to magically take place now where he's like some lockdown cover safety back there.
But he did used to wreck some offenses.
He did. Yeah. So if he can get back to being maybe not full Jamal Adams and what we saw in the past before all the injuries and what that was, but if you can find a way, if you're Denard Wilson, and that's the other thing that stood out to me in his press conference yesterday, clearly I think he's pretty comfortable here with some of the guys that he knows and has a past with. If he can get back to being somebody that's a disruptor, and maybe it's not even an every down thing, but a disruptor in a sub package, then I think you'll take that at this point if you're the Titans, especially given what you're paying him.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. And I think, you know, I'm just speculating, just guessing, you know, that maybe in certain packages he might line up at the second level for this defense. It's just me guessing out of nowhere for no reason at all. I'm just taking guesses today.
Just seeing what sticks.
Yeah. 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 But no, I mean, and look, Brian Callahan talked about that the other day, right? I mean, it's pretty obvious. And even he, Adams, basically confirmed, he talked about how Seattle wanted to change positions. I mean, some people do look at him as a little bit more of like a linebacker. So, like, in a heavier package, could you swap in for one of your corners or something like that? You know, or you could play linebacker. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think
Jamal Adams and Dr. Jack side by side out there getting after the defense.
There you go.
Getting after the offense.
Could be. How about Jamal Adams with the green dot? A lot of green dot talk. Let's talk about the green dot.
Maybe so.
No, I don't think that in all seriousness. Now, unless, and maybe you're right. Someone made the point yesterday watching. It's like, well, Elijah Molden, I still believe. I think he'll be the starting safety, and I think he and Hooker will be the safeties. But someone made the point. It's like, so basically, like, Molden's best and Jamal Adams' worst. Like, where do those cross paths? You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, we haven't seen a lot from Molden in the NFL. I think we've seen some good stuff from him. We've seen mostly injuries. We've seen really good stuff from Jamal Adams, but it's been a while. But it's, I like a pickup after yesterday, just in terms of it's super cheap, and he brings credibility. He brings relationship with Wilson, and I feel like he is going to be a positive force on the defense. And I just look, all I really knew of him, because I've never had any personal interaction, was that he, you know, left last year after he wasn't active for one of those games. But, you know, it's one of those things, like, if you have beef, like, if you're not like this frequent disruptor in the locker room, and sometimes people have their, I mean, you got to give somebody a mulligan for that. Again, I don't care if Satan is covering you, you don't go after Satan's wife. Okay. So, like, that's that, but that's what you knew too. I think he's gonna be a good addition, and then we'll see how extensive that'll be in football terms.
He fits into this conversation too, in terms of how you could use him. and I know it's one day of camp, but it's just the philosophy as a whole. Everybody talks about aggression. We've talked with Kuharski about how aggressive this defense is going to be. What do you think that's actually going to look like from Denard Wilson's standpoint of him being a first-time defensive play caller, first-time defensive coordinator? What you know, aggressiveness with this defense, what does that look like? Are they blitzing every play? Are they what do we think it's going to look like for the Titans?
That's a great question. I think at some point in the next few weeks we should have Ted Gwynn on from The Athletic because he wrote a huge X's and O's piece on this defense. And actually, it's not that. It's not as just blatantly straight out aggressive as some people think. It's a really interesting piece, and it goes into like it's a complex defense. So yeah, I think the aggressive part of it is the corners. Of course they're gonna blitz, but it's just like any D coordinator. D coordinators would love to not blitz,
yeah.
Right? D coordinators would love to see Sweat and Simmons blow the pocket up every time, help the edge guys, and be able to get pressure with four as much as possible. But I think the aggression will be in Snead, in Awuzie, in McCreary, and how they in certain defenses man up some of these receivers. I think that'll look a lot different. But yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I have to refresh on that article, but it's really interesting, like the nuances of aggression and fake aggression, I guess, at times, you know?
Yeah, like, because I think when I think aggressiveness on defense and the way that everybody's talked about this, and look, we know they are going to blitz. And I don't think it's going to be as extensive as some people have made it out to be. But, like, I think boom or bust on defense when I think of that. Like, you're probably going to make a lot of plays, and you're probably going to get torched a few times as well. And, like, trying to find that balance. Like, look, every defense, with the way the rules are set up and the talent of other offenses, is going to get torched to some degree in today's NFL. But, like, trying to strike that balance of when to be aggressive, when not to be. How do you not get burned more often than not if you're Denard Wilson? Like, I'm really interested to see how that comes together this year. And particularly, like, you know, we've talked about safety. Particularly if you're not feeling great about your safety spot at that point, like, how does that manifest itself into preventing explosive plays down the field?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it always sounds great. I swear, this is another one of those, you know, how we always talk about, those last coaches were stupid.
Yeah.
These new coaches are amazing. You know, yeah. I also feel like every time there's a coaching change, I can't remember a coaching change in football where it was like, you know, this new defense, we're going to really read and react and be real careful.
Yeah.
It's always like, now we're attacking, yeah. You know. Yeah. I mean, everybody wants to attack, attack, attack. But, yeah, it's not that simple. But if you have corners who can throw receivers off their routes, throw off the timing, and not get absolutely torched doing it, and if you can really give people problems in the interior, that's two things that everything else in your defense should really benefit from.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your best things and worst things in the world of sports on our text line. The best and worst things in sports coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. It is time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things. For this week in sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
So my best now has to be honorable mention. It was going to be the WNBA All-Star Game, which I watched in its entirety last weekend, making it like the first All-Star Game in sports that I can remember since
the 1980s?
Like, seriously. I mean, the 90s, I still watch the NBA All-Star Game, too. The 92 one, like, Magic came back. Of course, he had you know, announced he was HIV positive earlier in that year, and he came back, and that was pretty cool. That was pretty awesome. But, like, yeah, we're talking 30-ish years since I've – like, I don't watch any All-Star Games. Now, this was a different one because it's the Olympic team against the remaining All-Stars, and you've got Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese on the – and they kicked their butt, by the way. Like, yeah. They kicked their butt. But it was enthralling. It was. But that's my honorable mention. My actual best, I just watched Simone Biles stick the vault. And she's the best in sports, the Olympics. But she's the best in sports. She is the greatest athlete in American history. Thank you. Goodbye. End of discussion. You have no argument. That's my take. I dare anyone to try to argue with me on that. I have some buddies who
archers.
I got somebody like
I've seen some good archers.
Babe Ruth. I mean, let's just stop it. Yeah, the
good archery team.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can't say that I know the history of archers that well, but
handball.
Simone Biles is the greatest athlete of all time in American history. My worst. Look. A best, I'm sure one of you, I saved football for you because training camp starting, so I saved it for you. But there is a worst to that to me, and that is what we're, doing already is just the complete overreaction and ultimately misinformation. We need to do probably a better job. I know some things stand out even from last year, but like of keeping track of our takes, you know?
In camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then going back and laughing at them because there are so many things that turn out to be like, this guy could be key or, I think this guy's making the team or, Treylon Burks is due for a big year, whatever it is. So that is my worst, the overreaction. But it's kind of a soft worst because it's still fun and we're glad that there's any kind of football here, right?
Yes. Yes, we are. Nick Keys, are your best and worst things in the world of sports?
Well, I did get to play hockey between our last edition and now, so that's fun. But no, I want to say Joe Rexrode knows all too well. So the Steve McNair project that's coming up on Netflix, I'm excited for that. It'll premiere on August 20th. A little backstory personally that I have to the McNairs. I actually got to hang out with his sons a few years after the incident happened with his wife. Or not his wife, but that's, I won't comment.
His murder.
Just his murder, yes. Totally botched the detail there, but I don't recall that. But Trent and Tyler, I remember hanging out with them. This will be cool to see him featured for his big Super Bowl run back in 2000. So very curious to see how that does. So back in fifth grade, me getting to hang out with them, that was pretty cool. But my worst in sports is DeShaun Foster. Oh my gosh. Yesterday, his comments at Media Days. I don't even know what that was. Like, I really don't have words for that. And then also, like, on a sub note, like, what is Harbaugh doing out in LA? Like, these coaches are on one for
sure. We need to play the Harbaugh thing today. We gotta play that at some point. DeShaun Foster, for you, Sally, for those who don't know, he talked for a minute and 12 seconds and it was like, "What's up, y'all? We're UCLA. We play football. We're in the city of Los Angeles."
So bad.
USC is also there.
Excited for football.
Thank you. It was interesting. It was like we were, Robbie and I were talking. It's like, meanwhile, sometimes you'll have like Dan Mullen comes up there and he's like controversy and he goes through every member of the roster so you can't ask any questions. Yeah. So there's a happy medium. This was
hello.
This was extreme.
We are at UCLA.
Hi.
That is in the state of California. Your questions, please.
I like football. Do you like football?
My best in sports is football is back, kind of.
There you go.
That is my best in sports. My worst in sports, along with football being back, this is my favorite time of year in terms of practice overreaction. I've talked about this before. For some reason, the NFL, this is the one sport, and I guess you can throw college football in there too, where we really do this all the time. I think it's because of how football obsessed we are in this country, and everybody wants to know, like, how does so-and-so look? Like, we're getting questions all over the text line today about, like, random members of the Titans.
David Martin Robinson.
Yeah, like, no chance of making the team. It's like, I get it. We're all football obsessed. But I bring up this example often. Like, I don't ever remember in my life going to a Nashville Predators practice and watching Philip Forsberg, like, miss a shot and miss an open net and being like, well, guys, Forsberg missed an open net. What does it mean for him? Like, what's that going to – how's that going to affect tomorrow's game against Columbus with Forsberg missing an open net? And yet we'll look at everything that happens on the practice field. And it's like, well, this must mean. This is going to directly translate to the game. Everything we see on practice field directly translates to the game. It's just – it's always fascinating to me this time of year in football. Yes. It happens every year.
It does. It does indeed. All right. This is – I think we need to enter Jim Harbaugh into the discussion.
Okay.
Just the way it feels, I mean, feels like – New Year's Day, you know, feels like being born. Feels like coming out of the womb, you know. It's like you're in there and it's comfortable and it's safe. And now you're out, you're born, the lights are on, it's bright, got chaos, people looking at you, people talking at you. And just feels good to you know, have it happen.
Thank you, Jim.
What is wrong with you, Harbaugh? Chance, I'm in the womb. You know, it's I really enjoyed my time in the womb.
It's like birth. That's what training camp is like. It's
and you know, birth. I'm trying to work on my drops, and it's like, can you please cut this umbilical cord? After birth, the ball slips out of my hand. I mean, what's going on? Football, birth.
I tell you what
a freaking weirdo.
It would not be boring to cover Jim Harbaugh. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, he actually 90% of the time says nothing. It's just like a brick wall of ugh. And then randomly he'll
have that.
And you're like half asleep, and then you're like, whoa, oh my God. He's just talking about being in the womb?
Well,
you know
that get him really fired up to start talking about the offensive line. It's the key to all football, the offensive line.
Yes.
We thought he was joking in the draft process, and it turns out he wasn't.
He was.
They're going to get every offensive lineman possible.
He was not kidding. Yeah. I mean, actually, I'm going to follow closely along with their camp. How many touchdown passes to offensive tackles are they throwing? You know?
I mean, probably a significant amount. Trent says the worst in sports, yesterday's Jared versus Joe with a smiley face.
Well, that's because Trent is – these people are trying to, they're trying to argue with me on Simone Biles. Michael Phelps is absolutely in the discussion, okay? But don't give me the medal count. Do you understand how many more opportunities to win medals there are in swimming? Do you understand? Do we need to go through the events? I can do that for you. Simone Biles being in the Olympics right now is like a freaking quarterback at 73 being an all-pro, okay? Not to mention that if Michael Phelps or any of these other athletes tried to do what Simone Biles did, they would die. They would die. This discussion's over. Sorry.
No, you're welcome.
Long fuse.
It's all good. Long fuse is on display again. I don't agree that she's the greatest athlete in American history, but she's probably up there.
It's fine. You can be wrong, too. You can all be wrong together.
615-737-1025. Chase McCabe. The greatest athlete in American history.
Well,
I think we've all seen that.
He is.
Cap.
He is an athlete of incredible vintage.
He is.
It's hard to imagine
hard to replicate.
An athlete quite like him.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll switch gears, get into a little college football coming up next. How does Nico Iamaleava, I'm going to butcher that all year long.
You got this.
I got nailed it the second time, though.
Iamaleava.
How does he live up to the hype this season? What constitutes Nico living up to the hype for the Vols? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.